I thought I would take us back a little bit from where we started along in this time with Luke, beginning in chapter 11 in verses 1 through something. We were learning about prayer, but what we found as Jesus was explaining this, as Luke shared it with us, the words were, "Your kingdom come." And then the explanation that we heard about God's kingdom coming, Jesus was spending a lot of time talking about what we receive from parents, or if we're parents, what we'll give to those that we love. So we began this conversation around giving and taking, and what does it mean? What are our expectations of God the Father? Are we expecting treasure on earth, or are we looking for treasure in heaven? Are we looking for God's kingdom to come? So that conversation continued last week when we began in chapter 12, and we were looking at the parable of the rich fool who asked Jesus, "How do we get into heaven? You know, how do I get assured that I'm going to go into heaven?" And the answer was, for he was to sell everything and give it away. And he talked about, you know, this rich man whose barns had to get bigger and bigger. And the last words that day were, "So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." So there's this running theme about what are our expectations of rewards for being followers of Jesus Christ. Are they expectations just for a heavenly home? Or are our expectations that we will have prosperity here on earth? And so then do we get attached to the things of earth so that we forget about the things of God? Which opens us up to this morning's passage when he says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Remember, your kingdom come. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So what is it that we expect God to give us? Isn't it God's love for us that we expect? And our response to that love is to love back. And then he talks about selling our possessions. Now, I do not believe that this is asking us to become paupers, sell everything we have, give it all away, so that we become the next charity case. I do think what Jesus is asking us to do is to look at what we have. And how many of us have more than we need? But we don't share it, do we? We keep it. We talked about that last week, about the storage buildings. We keep it. Well, what if we were to sell it and use that money to use it for whatever particular missional aspect that touches our hearts, whether it's dealing with dementia and Alzheimer's research, whether it's dealing with cancer research, whether it's dealing with homelessness, whether it's dealing with hunger, whether it's dealing with schools and making sure that teachers have what they need. What if we gave from our excess, got rid of our excess, and lived with only what we needed? Sell what you have and give alms to the poor. And then he talks about where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What is it that we hold on to so dearly that it really has a hold of our hearts and doesn't give room for Jesus to be there? What is it that we hold on to so dearly that Jesus gets kind of crowded out? Sometimes it's things we want to say, well, we should love those, like family, friends, our church family. But if our motive is only for that love and not out of our love for God, then we need to examine our heart a little bit. But then it's my favorite part of this whole passage when he says, "Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for the master to return from the wedding banquet." How many of you, as parents, remember waiting up for your children to come home? You don't go to sleep till that happens, right? You just don't go to sleep till that happens. What if What if when they walked in, they went, "You've been waiting for a long time. Let me cook you breakfast." That's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about. The master comes home and sees his servants ready and dressed to serve him. And he says, "You guys sit down. You've been waiting a long time. I'm cooking you dinner." But that's also what God calls to us to do. Remember we had that feast last week? That feast, that great Thanksgiving feast? That when we are doing the things, when we are serving God as we need to serve, when we do reach our heavenly home, guess what he's going to say? He's going to say, "Sit down. I got a meal for you. As the servants, we receive the feast. But then he talks about being ready. And I want to talk about fear, not just expectations, but our fears. Have we moved into a place in our culture that fear seems to dominate us? We could almost say the treasure in our heart is fear. And we're so afraid of that thief coming in. We have fences. We have alarm systems. We have security lights. We have everything. We are anticipating that thief could come at any time. And some of us have received a knock on our door when we're not home and it's been a thief. So, but we get prepared for that thief, don't we? We make sure our houses are ready. We make sure we are ready for that thief to come because we don't know when he's going to get there. So do we believe that Jesus is going to come again? Okay, I'm just checking, making sure you're awake too. Jesus is going to come again. We say that in our great Thanksgiving. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Are we ready? Do we live today as if Jesus could come today and meet us and know that we were ready? That we are that servant that could sit at that table? Or maybe are we coasting along and hoping that maybe Jesus won't notice? Or my sisters and brothers would say, Jesus wouldn't notice I was sitting in the bathroom reading a book rather than doing the dishes. Maybe Jesus won't notice that we've stopped any spiritual practices. Maybe Jesus won't notice that we've stopped caring for our neighbors because we don't like them anymore. So Jesus might notice we haven't forgiven our neighbor. Are we as prepared for Christ to come again as we are prepared for the thief to steal those possessions that are the treasures of our heart? So I want to leave you with the passage that kind of got pulled out of the lectionary. Because last week we had the parable of the rich fool. And this week we've had the parable of the watchful slaves. In the middle of it were these verses. He said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Or how much more value are you than the birds? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? If then you are not able to do so small a thing as that, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying, for it is the nations of the world that strive after these things. And your Father knows that you need them. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given you as well." Over the past 3 weeks, we have been looking at what does it mean to be people of the kingdom of God. We have been looking at what it means for God to bring his kingdom here on earth. God asks us not to have fears about our future, not have fears about whether or not we'll all get to heaven, but to have expectations that God will come to our door at any time. There's an old story about a woman who had a visitation by an angel that said, Jesus is going to come and see you today. And she said, really? So she started to get ready. She cleaned her house like she'd never cleaned it before. I mean, those dust bunnies under the couch were gone. And that counter that hadn't seen a wipe because of all the stuff on it, well, she cleared all that stuff out and wiped it all down and set it back all up nice and pretty. And then she had to wash the jars. How many of us wash those jars that we have on the counter? The house was getting spotless. But as she was working really, really hard, she looked out the window because she was peering, looking to see when if he was coming because he didn't. Angel didn't say when. She's looking out the window, and this man's coming along the way. And he didn't seem to have any shoes. And her husband was a cobbler. And she said, sir, come in the house. So she invited him in and she sat him down. And she told him all about Jesus coming. And she was so excited. She said, but I see you need some shoes. And so she gave him a pair of shoes, socks and shoes. And they had a nice visit. And she even gave him a cup of tea and something to eat and sent him on his way. So then she went in the kitchen and began to make lunch. She thought, oh, Jesus is coming for lunch. I'm going to make squash casserole and some fried chicken and some biscuits. So she was putting the biscuits to rise, and she looked out. And there was this woman and her daughter. And they looked really ragged, and they looked like they hadn't eaten in a long, long time. She said, come in. Come into my house. I've got supper on. I got lunch on. And she sat them down. And she fed them the fried chicken, and she fed them the squash casserole and those beautiful golden biscuits. And they ate and ate and ate and couldn't eat anymore. So she bagged up the rest and off they went, and her kitchen was empty. She went, oh no, Jesus is coming and I don't have anything to give him. And then she looked out again thinking, boy, it's getting dark. He's not going to make it. And she saw someone who needed a bed. They were still out there shivering and cold. And she said, come in. I have another bedroom. Come in. And she sat them down, gave them a cup of tea and calmed them and put them to bed. And night came and she lit her candle and she began to pray. And the angel visited and she said, Jesus never came. He said, really? I was naked, and you clothed me. I was hungry, and you fed me. I was without a home, and you gave me a bed. Jesus visited you at least 3 times today. Where our treasure is, there our kingdom is also. We need not fuss about anything. We need not have fear or expectations. We need to live in the present and know that Christ is here too. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.